Hello and good morning. Thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. And I do hope you'll join us. If you prefer email, that's fine. We've had a lot of really good questions lately, email questions. Please feel free to do that. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And of course, because of the back and forth, we always appreciate your phone calls because there might be a follow-up question. There might be. There very well could be. You know, it's amazing that we come in today and talk about all-time highs. I know, we talk about that every week. We have been an awful lot lately. But the reason I say that is we're in the heart of an impeachment, right? And the market is just like, yeah, that's really not going to go anywhere. And it's not. As long as it looks good for President Trump, market's fine. And the market's also telling you it not only looks good during this impeachment process, it looks really good for him for the coming election. Now, I'm not saying that that's the defining thing and that will not change tomorrow. It obviously could. But what is clearly being said right now is that he's going to be reelected. We're at all-time highs. And we're certainly at all-time highs, if you will, for negativity. Which is what is so weird. It's been that way for a long, 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 long time. Even before Trump. A long time. Now, Trump derangement syndrome is obviously a very serious disease. And people didn't have Obama derangement syndrome. They just did not. Lots and lots of people thought he was a terrible president. I would agree with that. He was horrifying. But everybody accepted it, right? It wasn't like, let's find a way to impeach him and all those things. It wasn't like that. We're in a weird spot. But it was very, very negative back then, too. This is something we're dealing with this all this new, false, too much media. Everybody's running around trying to make a name. And you can't even read a headline in the only normal newspaper that I know of, the Wall Street Journal, that isn't, questioning everything. I mean, it's like, the market hit all-time highs, but let me tell you, this really worries some people. Okay. Yeah, the guy that's been a bear for a long time. Right? And they parade him around all the time. Now, I get part of media today. Is it the companies that are represented by the spokesmen who come out and say we're bearish, we're bullish, or whatever, get slots sometimes, oftentimes, based on the fact that their companies advertise on their channels? I get that. But there's so many of them that have been so bad in their predictions for so long, it's laughable. I've talked about the J.P. Morgan calling for a recession and pretending they didn't, and how it's a sugar high and how political it was. Because to me, that was an important point to talk about. A very important point. People need to know that there is political bias in the economic forecasts. I found it so over the top, it was astounding. It just wasn't even hidden. Sugar high from tax cuts. It's just, incredible disdain for the president. In multiple ways. And you just go, wow, that's really clouding their judgment. But you also have people, I just saw some article that a client sent over, wanted to read. I you can only get past the first paragraph when it's somebody who I honestly don't know when he hasn't been a bear. Gary Schilling is his name. And it's like we're quoting Gary Schilling. About what? How to destroy wealth? got to be right as you know about as frequently as a stopped watch. This is a guy that has never been anything but an out-and-out bear that I know of. And I've been around for almost 40 years. I mean, he's got to be 80-something now, I think. And I don't know in his lifetime he's been anything but a bear. I have no idea. I didn't even know he was really still around. And so I know this is astounding, but he's, quotes, quite worried about and fill in the blank on some sales thing, sales pitch. I don't know. I think it was selling a utility newsletter. On what? Important data? No. Fear. Fear. It's always that, right? Because fear sells. It works. It's the thing that gets people hunkered down and thinking about it, grinding on it. And I don't know. Maybe I should make a change. Maybe I should buy some gold. Maybe I really should get into that equity indexed annuity. All on fear. And it just kind of, it's like, and then there's a newspaper, and then we're worried about this, and analysts are worried about that, and da-da-da-da-da. It's an all-time high. Can't we just take a victory lap? Take this week in the news. We signed the trade deal that was going to take the country down. We knew it. It was it. Trump doesn't know what he's doing. It's a horrifying thing. We are in a trade war with China. They think they're smarter. They think longer term. They da blah, 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 blah. They're just better people. We're not as smart, and certainly Donald Trump isn't. We're going to lose. And he obviously doesn't understand economics. We're back to the 1920s. It was going to be a depression. And this went on and on and on and on and on constantly for a year. As the economy continued to grow, unemployment rate dropped, particularly for the lowest out there, but the banging of the gong didn't stop. That this was going to be the end-all of our economy. The worst economic decision ever in history. Check it off. It's signed. And what do you read and hear in the headlines? How it wasn't really a good deal. It really wasn't going to work. It really isn't a big deal at all. And, you know, wait for phase two. It's just not going to be any good at all. Okay, so we can't even for a day celebrate the fact that we have a trade deal with China. And the answer is no, because that was actually Donald Trump doing that. It actually didn't kill the economy. The economy grew. But we can't even for one day have a victory lap. But that's okay. Let's just put, because that's a small thing, let's go to the next day. And we have another major signing with our two largest. So in 2 days, we have our three largest trading partners ink a deal. And the news is what? Yeah, well, let's just see. In fact, there is no news. Did we show that, or did we show clowns solemnly marching or high-fiving each other and giving away gift pens about the impeachment process? That's all news all the time if you're in the fake news media. But it's the impression it gives everybody. Yeah, things aren't really good, and you're not allowed to take a victory lap. Oh, no, we need to be worried about what's coming next. We're at all-time highs. Period. Corporate profits at record levels. Dividend payouts, record levels. Corporate balance sheets, best ever. Unemployment rate, lowest ever for the lowest in our society. Tied for records for all the rest of us. That's what's going on. We're energy independent. Changes everything. We kill the baddest dude in the planet. Seriously. I don't think there's a more evil person out there. He's dead. But we have to hate that. We can't even enjoy that. I didn't see Republicans hating in any way, shape, or form Osama bin Laden being killed. Nothing makes any sense except Trump derangement syndrome. I get it. But it's changed. I mean, it's not just him. This news or this constant news flow of the, no, things aren't really that good because if this happens and we get hit by a comet, it's really going to be bad. It's just off the rails. Yeah, it's not really that good. Really? How would it be better? What kind of magic fairy dust do we want? People want a job? You got it. You want two because you're trying to pay for something? You got it. You only can work an extra 10 hours? Hey, I'll take it. Come on in. Everybody is working. Everybody is getting paid more by a lot, especially the lower end of the pay scale. It's unbelievable. What the heck? I mean, we're looking for help. Seriously, we're looking for administrative help. The right advisor. I mean, it's everybody is. It's incredible. But we can't do a victory lap. Last year, the market was up 30%. Tech stocks higher, a diversified portfolio, small, with small caps, some international, a little bit lower. That's a really good year. You know what? That's just a good year, period. Okay? It's a good year. Can't take a victory lap. Gotta be worried. Gotta be worried. Gotta be grinding. What if the China deal doesn't go through? Signed last week. Oh, that doesn't matter. What if they never get around to signing the new NAFTA? Oh, well, that's done. That doesn't matter. We got impeachment we're working on. Nonstop. We're sick. And why is this important? It's not politics. It affects our minds. The average person over the last 10 years took money out of the market. The greatest bull market. Longest bull market in history. And money actually came out. Something's wrong. Makes no sense. I know what I'm going to do. Since interest rates are near zero, I'm taking money out of the thing that is really doing well, and I'm going to put it into something that doesn't earn the rate of inflation. Why? Because I'm smart, and I read a lot of really negative headlines, and I really care a lot what happens with people like Gary Schilling, who've just never had a bullish day in their life. They just call for crash and crash and crash, and like a stopped loss or stopped watch, once in a while, they're right. The market goes down, maybe even substantially, and then it goes back to all-time highs. What good was that? Nothing. Price sold some gold bars, got some old folks into some annuities, and made a big fat commission off of them. That's it. It's all it's good for. But people pulling money out when the economy is expanding and growing and the world is growing and expanding and technology is amazing, it makes no sense. We've let this just ooze into our heads. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. There's $12 trillion sitting in cash in our country. There's the same amount of money about around the world invested at negative interest rates, if you can imagine that. Absolutely astounding. But all you hear about is stocks are too high. Heard about that for what, 20,000 points now? Literally. 20,000 points. Too high. Too high. Too high. Too high. Too high. What about this? What about that? QE 1, 2, 3, and 4. That'll fail. Greece, part one, two, and three. That's not going to work. List goes on. As soon as Trump is elected, we're all going to go, the market's going to crash. Just goes on and on. Too much news. Too much data coming at us like a fire hose. Instead of us taking a victory lap and just saying, what's really going on out there? And we'll talk some more about that later today. Right now, I got to take a quick break. And I do want and need your phone calls. Or our email, dave@petsofinancial.net. It's 580-KIDO right here. Please do ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I was asked about annuities this week. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into my tirade. You've already heard how criminal the equity index annuity pimps are. So I don't need to talk about that. That's just such a bad product. But I want to be a little cautious here because all annuities don't fall in the same bucket. There's a lot going on out there within the insurance area now with this new Security Act where annuities are going to be allowed in pension plans, things like that. And I've been asked about it. Is this a good thing? It's a bad thing. I don't think it's a necessary thing to have them in there, but and insurance companies most certainly pushed for all of this. They were heavy lobbyists on this whole deal, and I think it's a bit unfortunate. But at any rate, they're allowed in. But the key here is that we're not going to be talking about, because there will be within pension plans, a fiduciary responsibility, which means equity indexed annuities won't be allowed because they're complete garbage, and nobody would own one. Right. And so if nobody would own one themselves, they're not going to be able to pimp them into programs that other people with a fiduciary responsibility. That's one of the things that is very important, I think, out there to understand when you're dealing with anybody. Do they have a fiduciary responsibility or not? Because fiduciary carries with it a legal liability of full disclosure. And here's the bottom line, not just full disclosure. Are you doing the best thing for the client, period, only? Only. Only the client matters, not your commission. That's a big deal. All right, so anyway, in that relationship, it's important to all, within that relationship, because I think that's in a very important relationship. I really do, because it puts a different accountability on the individual that's selling commissionable products to you. In other words, there would never be an equity indexed annuity if there was a fiduciary care standard. Simple. So if a person is a certified financial planner, can't write the product. Won't write the product. If the person is a fee-based person, they have a fiduciary responsibility as well. Won't write the product. So what we have is a circumstance where you can avoid a lot of different problem things with a fiduciary standard. But what I want to drive at here, the point I want to make, is that not 100% of the annuities are the worst things on the planet. Okay? No, I don't like them. I think there's other solutions that are better and so on and so forth. But there are circumstances as people head towards retirement or they need some tax breaks and now all the commissions are either gone or have been reduced and there are certain circumstances out there. My problem with annuities is A, equity index annuities that people drop their licenses so they can lie and have no disclosure is wrong. Anything that pays a 10% commission, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Shouldn't. The second part of that I can lay a blanket over is that 90% of annuities are sold wrong to the wrong people because they pay a lot of commission, even if it's not one of those equity index annuity things. Even if a person carries licenses, so there has to be full disclosure, all those things that are very important. I think it's critically important in my mind. The disclosure, people need to know exactly what they're getting into. But there is a small percentage out there in the right circumstances for the right persons that it makes sense. So I really don't want to be in that bucket. Nobody sent me a nasty letter. We were talking about it at the office because somebody else had asked about it. And it's like, you know, I got to make that clear. There's maybe 10%, as long as it's not an equity index annuity, of the annuities out there are okay. And they are in the very right circumstances. Doesn't mean that 10% of the people ought to own it. I'm just saying that they're not all 100% bad. So I did want to clear that little topic up. Hey, we're going to be coming up to our second hour here, and I'll touch on the Albertsons deal. Isn't that exciting? They might be doing an IPO. I know they've tried before, but we'll see. But I've got some more data I want to give you. Nah, don't worry. It's not just numbers. It's the point of these numbers. It's just crazy good out there. It is absolutely crazy good, and we're missing it. Also, on top of that, real quick, we have our fourth company that's hit $1 trillion. Hope you're on board. Google hit $1 trillion of valuation this past week. Amazing. All right, we'll be back for hour number two of Money Matters right after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions only. Not the station, a broker-dealer, or anything like that. I know, I say the same thing every week, and it's important to understand. This is not, and it's not a good idea under any circumstances, to be taking in more stupid data points of what to buy or sell on things you don't know anything about when this is the easiest game in the whole wide world. There's literally nothing easier than putting a cup of coffee a day away, $150 a month, for 40 years is worth $1.24 million in the general stock market. That's what it's been worth. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. It's that easy. Well, should I buy this? It's all noise. And it's stupid. It leads us further from the truth. So if we mention a stock, talk about Google like I'm going to, talk about Apple, Micron locally, positively or negatively, that's not an endorsement to buy or sell. That would be like, you know, I don't know what it would be like, honestly. That's just so stupid. We can't even, you know, it's like we were talking in the last hour. You can't even take a victory lap about two of the greatest trade deals ever in history. Not because Trump did it, because the United States of America did it. And we can't take a victory lap. The same day, the pretend, you know, stoic House of Representatives is walking, making some weird show of walking the impeachment over. There won't be an impeachment. I mean, it's absurd. And the market rallies to all-time highs. For over a year, we've been talking about how smart China is. They've outsmarted us. They think longer term. They think 2050. You know, we just think about the next election cycle. They think 2050 because they're just so smart. They're so smart that they steal everything. They can't come up with it themselves, so they steal all of our technology. That's how so smart they are. We're just dumb. We always think we're dumb, and we're not dumb. America has about 5% of the world's population. Did you know that? 5. But we produce about 50%, and we produce about all of everything worth producing. What do I mean by that? I mean, all the great architecture. You're like, well, I've been to Europe. It's prettier. Yeah, they did really good things 1,000 and 2,000 years ago there, okay? But I'm talking about new architectural techniques. Art. Science, 3D, all these things. America. I don't know. China's on the rise. I get it. But 5% of the world has about 50% of the stuff and are the nicest people in the world no matter what people say. Because it doesn't fit the narrative of an all-world, whatever, an all-globe world, whatever people, the globalists want, you know? I don't know. They want America taken down. As if that's ever worked. Take those guys down and we'll be better. No, you won't. You'll be worse. Taking people down to a lower level does not make the people at the bottom better. Ever. That's what's so weird about liberalism. It's just, it's lost its way. Socialism never works. Tearing people down and redistributing wealth doesn't work. And when we think about that, and we think about that in the sense of what it's meant to our markets, to our thinking, and to the world. Maybe we shouldn't be policemen of the world, but we have been. We've been pretty good ones at it. Doesn't mean we ought to do regime change and things like that, but we've been pretty nice to go help people and not take their stuff. Greatest nation in the world. But all we seem to do is tear it down. And that, the problem with that, of course, is it alters our thinking. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. We don't invest. We don't grow. We don't go into business. It's that important. Google is the fourth company now to hit $1 trillion in market capitalization. Did it this week. I'm sure all of you can guess the other three, led currently by Apple. Microsoft and Amazon, and now Google, are worth $1 trillion. And instead of being part of that, so many people, instead of celebrating that, so many people have told you that, I don't know, you know, something along these lines, right? I don't know, stocks are kind of high. P ratios are a little high here. Yeah, a little too much. Or you could be a Gary Schilling. I've never seen anything I liked ever, 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 ever. Buy gold. Okay. Easiest game in the world. But people are sounding smart and being negative. It's weird. It is just really weird. And that's, I guess, why I'm here every week to talk about it. And have been for, what, 35 years? 34? This is crazy. It's so crazy of how negative it is when we have such amazing amounts of wealth, abundance in general, that have been generated by the greatest corporations in the world. Massive amounts of tax dollars to build roads and build schools and on and on. But instead of like embracing this and talking about how great it is that corporations can rise from an idea to a $1 trillion valuation, that's just amazing. And only in America. But only in America can we think that there's something wrong with this. Can we make up stuff? Can we make up hard feelings? Can we worry about things that just don't even exist to keep people out of the greatest wealth creation ever? It's almost sinful. And in some cases, of course it is. Yeah, you don't want to play in the Wall Street casino. No, you're right. I would rather be poor and give you all my money. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to steal from me. Because I'm scared. You scare me. I don't want to get rich on $150 a month. I want you to take my hard-earned money and put it in your pocket. Yeah, I don't want to be in the Wall Street casino. Well, you know, what goes up must come down. Yeah, partway. Called a normal, absolutely certain to occur over and over again all the days of our life, market correction. As it then goes on to all-time highs again. and again and again and again and again, all the days of your life, all the days of your parents' lives, even your deceased grandparents' lives. This has all been true. Well, you know. Yeah, let's make it hard. Let me see if I can get that correct bearish look, you know. Grow out a little salty beard here, lean into the camera a little bit and tug on it. And look really serious. A little bit grim. Get those eyeballs just kind of flared out a little bit. And then you can just look so serious and smart. Now, you've never been right. Not for any length of time. But it's easy to scare people. And since people really don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about the budget deficit, student loan deal, how big it is in the whole economy, the whole scheme of things, or if you take a chart and you spike the delinquencies in high-yield car loans. You know, those are loans to people that have never paid off a car loan or any loan anyway. But it's really bad. So we're going to show that chart. And they sound really smart. Really frightening. And, you know, because they timed 2008. No, they didn't. They were just always bearish their whole life. 2008 arrived. Whew, thank goodness. Finally, the stopwatch is right for a day. And what happened in 2008? Market bottomed and went to all-time highs. Actually, fairly quickly. And kept going. Oh, but what about? Yeah, you're right. We've had a couple corrections in there, haven't we? And they were all gnashing of teeth, and it just goes on and on. Housing starts are up even this month. Housing starts. Retail sales were great. Did you hear that? There was a banner on the front page of the paper, right? No. No. It's all bad all the time, and we have got to pull away from it. Think about it. Google hitting $1 trillion, kind of a, you know, we ought to just, yeah, but not just at Google headquarters. We all ought to be celebrating that. We now have four companies. Four of them. Apple was very, very nearly out of business not that long ago. Microsoft looked like they were on the deck and Apple was destroying them. Remember? Because you couldn't get us to buy. I hate Microsoft. I hated Microsoft. Who didn't, right? Hated them. Because every year they stole another couple $100 from you for an upgrade, right? That's what it feels like now, right? Well, we needed the upgrade, and they're working hard, and it's fine. It's okay. So we're all paying for it. And then along comes Apple, and nobody has to pay for an upgrade. So Microsoft languished for 10 years. Didn't go anywhere. Amazon's pretty new, and it's at $1 trillion. And you can call it the Death Star. I do. I think it's the death of retail, and I don't like it. I don't want to play in their area, but we all do. We all do. It certainly made the cost of goods collapse for everybody. Not just rich people. Really weird. It just isn't focused just on rich people. And out of all this, we come up with weird products, weird discussions. Like, do you think the market's too high? I don't know. This is getting a little long in the tooth. I think we're in the ninth inning. For how many years is the ninth inning? That was so long ago. I think we're in the 23rd inning now. That's what this economic recovery must be. And we miss all of that. We look at the Dow. Oh, yeah, you know, it looks like corporate margins, profit margins, don't ever stay at these record levels, and except that they did and continue to do so. What's your explanation for that? Well, that one's actually pretty easy, but they missed it. Technology. And we just continue in this. Why? Because fear sells. Nobody would buy, you know, an equity indexed annuity product. Nobody would do that. It's like the worst thing on the planet. It's toxic to people. It's stealing from people. Nobody would buy one except for fear. well, I know. And the fact that they can basically lie about it. Yeah, you know, you get to market participation and no risk. Isn't that cool? I've seen product bought at the very best time, like 07. Market tanks. He made 3%. The S&P makes 8% per year in the worst possible cherry-picked time. It's way too easy. We make it so hard. Look what we've done the past year. The trade war, we can't possibly grow. It's a trade war, trade war, trade war, trade war. Up 30%. Housing is just not working out. We had a huge, huge December. I don't want to talk about 1 month numbers. That's so stupid. You just need to know it's there. It'll probably not be as good because January might have some snow. Who knows? But when we look over the past year and 2 years and three, housing's doing okay. We're just not building enough. Retail sales are killing it. Why? Because people are doing well. Period. Not they're doing well, but we're all about to die. And that's what basically all the news says all the time. Yeah, things are a little okay, but we're all about to die. It's okay out there, but with negative interest rates or this or this, it just goes on. Corrections are certain to occur. I don't know when the next one is. Nobody does. Now, there have been all the heroes of the universe have been calling and calling and calling. Pardon me, but calling for it and calling for it. Year after year after year. And then all of a sudden when it happens, it's like, yep, see, I'm the hero of the universe. And then 90 days later, we're off to all-time highs. I mean, it just has been a bear's nightmare. And guess what all of history is? A bear's nightmare. Let me leave you with this. Terry, I'll grab you on the other side of the break here. You know, the only realism is optimism. Period. That's the only realism. I know for those of you out there, the pessimists out there, that the reality is at the end, we're all dead. I get that. And that's like a funny line. But when we think about the world that we've left for children and our grandchildren, and before us, what my great-grandparents did, coming over here on a flipping boat with nothing. I mean nothing in their pockets just for a chance. And we whine and cry about, you know, income disparity or some nonsense like that. It's horrifying. It's so disrespectful. It really is. It's so hard. It's not hard. I can't pay my bills and still go to the bar every night. Yeah, rent's gone up a lot, then move further out like we all did. I know, that sounds so insensitive. It just seems insensitive to me to not be thinking about how difficult it has been and how abundant it is. It's disrespectful. To our universe, to not count our blessings. Yeah, to God. It's an amazingly abundant world that we have been given by God and our ancestors that worked very hard to build this nation. And we whine. And because we whine all the time, we don't see the reality in front of us. All of the stuff that's been invented from, it's just an iPhone. It's not just an iPhone. Think of everything that touches that. Everything that touches that. And 5G is right around the corner, like next year probably. The Internet of Things, genetics, da-da-da. Robotics, 3D printing. You don't think that's another wave of unbelievable? Not just stuff, economic stuff. creative destruction at its best. Anyway, optimism is the only realism. And yet, so many people fall prey to fear. And that's why we talk about it so much. So much. To resharpen our mind. Optimism is the only realism. Because things have always worked out. They really have. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome and thanks for joining us. Trying to get these headphones. They're still wrapped around the chair, so hopefully that chair will just sit still. To rip my neck off here. All right. Let's go to the phones. Terry, how are you? Thanks for calling. Did I mess something up here? Where's Terry? Oh, yeah, that's right. We got goofy phones, huh? Is he still there on yours? My phone's dead. Is he? Can I not hear him? Terry.
I'm here.
Okay, we got you. There we go. Thanks.
Boy, howdy, we're having fun this morning.
I know. This phone here is crazy. It did this last week, too, where it just kind of died, and hopefully we'll hang in there. But it doesn't seem to disconnect
people. Automation, wonderful.
That's right. Well, welcome.
Well, yeah, darn it, you're making it hard. It's hard to listen and still polish my question here. Anyway, are you still there?
I am. You betcha.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Yep. What I was thinking about was the diversification versus fiduciary earlier on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But accounts by age group and all the young people that want to retire by 40 without the benefit of compounding interest and benefit of time.
Yeah.
How many, you're talking your Google, your Apple, your... How many people are not diversified and they're swinging for the fences early on in their lives without trying to diversify and let things work for them over time? Because when do they need this money? When can they actually get it, this retirement money? I'm running in about three different directions in my pea brain here.
So. Well, I get what you're saying. So people want to retire. What should they be doing with their... You do have about three different questions going on there. So let's see if we can dissect them just a little bit. So, Terry, I think that when we're in an... for me, and this is... I believe people need to be diversified, but diversification within all stocks is 100% okay with me. I see no reason not to get on the greatest wealth creation bandwagon ever in history, and it's always worked, okay, over long periods of time. But if you don't have a long period of time, you can't play that way. And when you get to retirement, you can't play that way when you need income. So let's back this into a couple different things. So diversification to me is not saying I got to identify the next trillion-dollar company and put all my money there. Of course, that's silly. But the idea of owning technology stocks over the past 10 or 20 years, especially for a young person, and having a vast majority of your money in that area, in call it growth, okay? They
right.
might have other growth, like, you know, in the medical field, biotech, things like that. But generally speaking, it's a highly volatile, high growth area. It's not your Procter and Gamble's. Okay, they're for different people. So I think you could have a serious overweighting to growth when you're young and you're putting money away, especially because that kind of volatility you want that 20% whoosh, so that next check buys 20% more in your 401k, in your retirement, however you're setting it aside, right?
Right.
And so if you're adding aggressively, you don't want a stable market. You want volatility.
Yeah.
Because once in a while, you're going to nail one of those low times, and you're going to buy a lot of different shares of a fund or a stock you're trying to buy. But you have to be diversified, because sometimes you're not going to pick Google. You're going to pick IBM.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid when I come in and say, ask Erica to take more risk, and she gets a little exercised with me, saying, wait a minute here, what are you trying to do? And it's this money is for my grandson.
That's right.
So if you think about it down the road, I don't need this money right now, so let's go ahead and let it ride.
Yeah, and there's also, it's a good point, Terry, and it's not, but everybody's not the same. So what you also have to balance in that is to say, All right, and I don't want to put me on you, right? This is, let's say it's your money, right? Because it is. It's your money, yeah. And it's Joe's money, it's Bob's money. It's not my money. And
well, so not anymore. I gave it to y'all. Oh, sorry.
But what we have to do is we have to know, okay, so Terry, just because you're a certain age doesn't mean anything. What's this use for the money, and what's your experience in the markets, and what's going to be your ride? What is this going to do to you in the next inevitable downturn?
Right.
Are you going to hang in? Are you going to add to it? Is this going to bother you? Are you going to lose sleep? These are all questions that the reality is how you behave is more important to the results that Terry or anybody else gets than how or what you invest in.
Right.
And so
I'm still waiting for a good blow off top. So
yeah.
You can make more money that way.
Well, you can make a lot more money that way. I mean, think about the bargains we had in 08 and 09, at the beginning of 09. It's unbelievable when you look back that you could have bought XYZ stock for one-tenth of what it is today. It's crazy what valuations we had in the greatest corporations of the world. That happens once in a while, just very rarely. And for those people that keep waiting for it, you blew it. Don't do that. And I don't mean you. I'm saying it's nothing wrong with a pocket of money that you come into and thinking, this isn't very aggressive, and if it goes down a little, I'm okay with that, because if the market goes down a lot, I'm going to be able to shift that over to some growth at quite a discount. Nothing wrong with that strategy either. That's part of diversification in my mind.
Well, I want you to go ahead with your big bucks and your big brain, change them up and really mess people up and talk the market down a little bit so we can get that correction.
That's right. I got to start talking like the Wall Street Journal. Actually, Wall Street Journal is probably the most optimistic out there. It is. It truly is.
Anyway, well, you have a good day, sir.
All right. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate your call. Have a good day.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. We've got to take a break for Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I hope you'll join us on the line here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Once again, if you prefer email, we've got time today. dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Brenda. Brenda, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Okay, as I described to your intake guy, I am last of the old school, low tech. I mean, I'm very intelligent, and just last of the old school. And I want to start a business in clothing line, and I've gotten a lot of incredibly positive feedback in the last 10 years. So how do I incorporate a new business in a low-tech mind into a high-tech world now?
Difficult, but I don't think at all impossible. I think what you're going to have to do is that's a fascinating question. It really is. And one that you really way to go being self-aware. Okay, I don't have today's brain, but I have common sense. If that's what you're saying, if you have common sense, you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. But you have to have people to help you in a tech world. You can't just do it. But I think that what's missing in this world is common sense. I've said it many times. Common sense is not at all common, and I believe it's getting to be worse. I think that there are very few people that are truly, you can ask them and give them a second to think about just about anything, and they can come up with some thoughts. They don't think that, I'm going to make this one up. It's because they're thinking through in a common sense way, a common sense approach. Now, that is an unbelievable and missing in business. I know an awful lot of good craftsmen and tradesmen and all, but they're not good business people because they can't put that other piece together. They're great at what they do, but they're not great at actually running a business. Two different things. Mm-hmm. So, Brenda, I would look at I would definitely read the E-Myth just to remind ourselves of how humble we need to be in whatever it is, okay? And that is that, you can be the best baker in town and have no chance of having a bakery stay open more than a year. okay?
Right.
It's absolutely true, and we see it over and over again, and we all know it's true. We just have a hard time sometimes seeing that in our life. So it's a different skill set. Now, what you need to do is you're going to have to get help, because I can't even think of anything harder at all to do than to actually go out and open up a clothing store today. That's got to be worse than a bar, right?
Well, yeah, it wouldn't actually be a clothing store. That's why I'm trying to, you know, implement the technological end of, not Amazon. I don't want to go that far extreme, but, you know, independent by order, you know, and
right.
just catalogs or something like that. That, you know, I don't. That's where I'm finding the difficulty in how to advertise, as opposed to I wouldn't open a brick and mortar. You know,
I got you. Good.
Same.
Yep. And you're going to run into trouble out there. Everything I read about artificial intelligence and things like that, all along those lines, 3D printing, the Internet of Things, where we're going to have literally different sensors within our clothes. It will sense if we're gaining a little bit of weight. And so the next time we order a shirt, it needs to be a little bit bigger. All of these things that are just like seriously, and they're like right here. So this technology you're talking about, it's here. And unfortunately, you're going to be going up against the Googles and the Apples and all the big guys, because this is another outlet of the, you know, where they're spending money in this Internet of Things.
Well, you know, okay, you bring up a really interesting point. I did not know about the sensors and things like that, whereas I'm like going back to old school or as much as possible, and I think a lot of people don't want everything just continually technologically.
I do. I agree.
It's, you know, they want a balance, and I really think there's a form for that, for what I have in mind. It's just because of how I was raised and or what I've witnessed, and how, I mean, identity theft, and it's like a little too much the other way. I mean, I think I've got the happy medium. I know I do, actually. So it's, like I said, how to incorporate that into, okay, getting help. Where would I begin to get the help?
Now, that's a great question there. And I agree with you. There's room for both. I just wanted to say on all these things, technology is impeding even clothes. That's my point. And so as a business person have got to be aware that they're coming at you from angles you never thought of. And so be aware of that. It's but at any rate, how do you find somebody? Gosh, that is just an impossible. I got to noodle on that a little bit as to where to go for that. But if you can find people within that an area that would share a vision of starting a company, I'd grab them. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do, is find some people who have the technological, some kind of a millennial or something that has some really strong background but sees your vision. They got to grab your vision like you do, though, because your guys are going to make no money for a long time. You're going to you're going to spend 70 hours a week doing it and loving it, and if somebody isn't like that, you don't want them.
Perfect. Yeah, okay. I mean, I hear you, and I love the way you present just all your wisdom, and it's just, I love your show.
Well, Brenda, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I tell you, that is just a great, I hope you find that special person to go with. And just keep reading, go online, read all about these things. Who is that guy? I'll think of it. I'll think about it. He wrote Abundance, if you just type that in. Who wrote Abundance? His name will pop up, and he does a lot of stuff. Sign up for his newsletters. They'll keep you up to date on a lot of those things, and it really has helped me a ton.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
you. Have a wonderful weekend.
You do the same. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dean, I'm sorry, we got to take one more break this hour. And if you don't mind, please hang through and we'll grab you on the other side. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. All right, let's go to the phones. Never mind, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Dean. Dean, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Dave.
Hey there.
I think I've asked you this before, but I'm a simple guy and I forget the answer. So I got a smart brother-in-law that thinks I'm, well, I would say he don't call me an idiot, but he thinks I'm making a big mistake staying with Edward Jones, and not because they're bad, but just because of the 5% up front.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Dean, here's the thing, okay? There's a couple different ways to operate out there, okay? We operate on a fee-only basis, so but we're going to have a little charge every year. It depends on how much money people have, so I'm not trying to get into that. It's just that that's kind of been the model that the world is shifting to, okay? Where because it's also a fiduciary model, if you heard the first hour of me talking about the difference in relationship. But the thing it really boils down to, and I worked in that world. That's how I got started, right? You only ate what you killed. There was no fee business around in 1980s. And so it was it's fine. I think I was an honest guy, and everybody knew what the charge was, and it's the way it happened. You're paying 5%. That's a lot. But you're not paying anything on an ongoing basis. And if you're getting good advice and you like your guy or your gal, and I, you know what, maybe it sounds sexist. I'm not meaning it to be. I mean, I have an office full of, let's just say half of our advisors are women, okay? Well, two-thirds on my team are. I guess I get to count, so it's half. So I don't mean that in any kind of a sexist way. Your guy or your gal who is out there working with you, knows you, cares about you, and is giving insight into when you can retire, when you should retire, some things you haven't thought of, lots of things. That's invaluable. It really is. So if you like that person and really feel like they're doing a heck of a job, that's great. It's not as simple as, I wouldn't go there because you pay five. I would go over here because you pay 0.5 per year. People come to us because they think we're pretty smart, and they come to us because we're going to do the best for them that we can, but not because they think we can see the future and know which mutual fund or stock they should buy. They come to us for insight and help in their financial, and if that's what you're getting and you just feel so comfortable there, you stay right where you're at. If you're not that comfortable, maybe you're not, because you're wavering on this, right? So you might think about it. You can and think about what your brother's saying, but he's wrong. You don't just get rid of something because, hey, it's cheaper down the road. Yeah, but is the quality as good? That's the real question.
Well, I mean, you know, if I was 47 instead of 67, I might, you know, I might look at it harder, but I don't have to do nothing. I just send them money every month. And the stock goes up, I make money. Stock goes down, I don't make money. And then it's just like everybody else, right?
Right. If you're comfortable what you're doing, and, you know, I mean, I can't, I you know, I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm just guessing it's going to be fine, straightforward. You're using A shares. That's obvious by telling me it's 5% up front. And, Dean, that's, if you're comfortable, just do it. Just, you're fine. Don't listen to your brother. I mean,
right.
If your brother's Warren Buffett, then you listen to your brother. If your brother's Warren Buffett, you listen to your brother. If he's not, if he's just a regular schlep like most people, hey, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
This guy's a smart guy, and he's got money, but he's also an office guy. I'm a hands-on guy, you know? I mean, I've got time to sit there and look at a computer all day.
Well, I would hope you don't. I don't. We don't permit our clients to look at the computer. Now, of course, we do. But we discourage it. It doesn't matter if you're in an office or you're out crawling under houses and fixing sinks, okay? It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter what you do. You don't want to be paying attention. That's really the point of this show, isn't it? Tell people that if they sit there and pay attention and read the paper all day, they'll curl in a ball and they'll never do anything their whole life. Because that's the media today. That's been the media for a long time. It's all doom and gloom all the time.
Well, so. I've taken your advice for a long time. I tell my guys all the time, I says, hey, it couldn't get simpler than $40 a week, okay?
There you go.
It just couldn't.
It can't, can it? It cannot.
No.
And then when
you have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Dean, you do the same. Thanks for your call, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, be blessed.
You do. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. And, yeah, good. We've got a little bit of time left because I want to finish up a couple of thoughts here. We're starting into earnings season, okay? And so It's not up from last year. Remember, these are the doom and gloom. We got to go back and we got to rehash the same reason why this market's been too high for 20,000 points. And we want to bring on the same parade of people to tell us again that profit margins can't get any higher, except that they've been just, you know, they're at record levels and they'll pull back. Except they didn't do that. Now, I've heard that for at least 7 or 8 years. I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. Okay? And then also, as we're heading into this, I don't know, you know, the earnings are barely up. The only reason the market's going higher is because of multiple expansion, not better earnings. Okay? True story. Doesn't take anything away. Market's up 30%. It's been rising, and this is going to be just another fine earnings season. Watch what the doomsdayers say. Just don't. You just got to be careful to not let it affect you. I promise you, we're going to have market corrections over and over all the days of our lives. It's just a reality. It's a true reality. We cannot possibly avoid market corrections. But sitting around and thinking about it fusses us about things that don't matter. They really don't matter. We figure out, you know, like the psychotic person who's like, you know, really, 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 really worried. Okay, one of my favorite funny things, right, is Bob Newhart. Thank you. Got it. Bob Newhart. And he does this thing called Stop It. It's a funny, funny bit. It's hysterical. And so the lady that comes in, of course, he plays a psychologist, he does. And the lady that comes in is afraid of being buried alive in a box. Well, have you ever been put in a box? No. Have you ever heard of somebody being buried alive in a box? No. But I'm just afraid of it. And I'm afraid of this. And I'm afraid of that. And I'm afraid of... Right. This bit is hysterical. If you don't ever... Google it. Stop it. It's hysterical. And actually very pointed. It's like that, isn't it? We just can't stop ourselves. And I just want to say, stop it. Just stop it. Turn the TV off. Quit reading garbage. These people have never been right. Like, never. We just keep looking for things that we can't. We're looking at the irrelevant. Stop it. Just stop it. Put $150 a month away for 40 years. You get rich. You don't do anything. It's almost illegal. It's so stupid. But we figure out ways to fuss about stuff that doesn't matter. So I'm just going to leave you with this. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Turn that noise off and have a wonderful weekend.